Welcome to Interstruct Talks 2, the podcast for an intercultural dialogue within the context of Porto. This podcast series, Women Artists, promotes the dialogue of five different creatives of Porto. As we are still facing low representation of women in the contemporary art scene, we want to recognize different women artists and their contributions to the art scene of Porto. Therefore, we are reflecting diversity with our discussions on the different social and cultural contexts and the creative processes of their work. In this episode, our guests are Bea Rindzichowski and Livia Bartsch. Welcome and thank you for being with us. So we can say as a profession that Livia is a graphic designer, even you don't like the term so much, and Bea was a professional dancer or is still a professional dancer. But I would also say that both of them are artists in the way of living. As they also know what it means to be creative on a construction site. They are also danced together in same-sex ballroom dance competitions. They are both from Hungary, from Budapest, and live in Porto since June 2017. So since you live in Porto for 2 years, can you tell us about the decision to move to Porto? Was that rather intuitive or long planned?
I'd rather say it was intuitive. Definitely. We had some ideas about where to go, what type of country to move to. And we were also talking about like South America, Mexico, Cuba, whatever. I personally felt like, you know, I want to stay in Europe. I feel like very much a European. And I feel at home basically anywhere I go here. Here, meaning Europe. But yeah, the standard choices of moving to Western Europe, which a lot of Hungarians do nowadays, was not that attractive to us, both like financially and for other reasons. And then I was once here in a conference, well, in Lisbon, and then Portugal seemed very positive in every respect. And then we came here and looked at the cities.
And we fall in love.
With Porto, yeah.
Did the art and culture scene in Porto influence your decision to stay in Porto?
The rhythm of the life was very, very inspiring for us. Porto is a city, but Porto is green as well. There's a lot of life and there's a lot of color. And it's for us, it's like always primavera, always spring. And spring is a nice season to live.
Definitely. Yeah.
Did you think the same last year when there was so much rain? it was
a kind of spring as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was heartbreaking.
Yes. Yeah, but we are good swimmer.
Bea, you are a professional dancer. So first of all, can you tell us what kind of dancing you're doing?
I do competition dancing, but in a same-sex scene. Standard and Latin dances, I don't know how much do you know about it?
A little bit of Disco Fox.
Oh, okay, but Disco Fox, yes. So it's not Disco Fox, but there are five Latin dances and five standard dances, ballroom dances, and I do this kind of dance.
And what is the best part of this Latin dances?
The Latin dances? I don't know. My personal favorite is standard, so I can tell you about the standard. Okay. Standard is just flying and the connections, I think.
Connections between the people or to the music?
Connection with you and all around, and even you are in a place, but you are in another dimension.
What is the most challenging part about performing as a dancer?
Being together, in a partnership. It's, I think, always two people together is the most challenging thing for me.
And the way of dancing or the kind of dances you choose to do, how much is your personality reflected in the way of dancing?
Come on. In same-sex dancing, you can be a leader or a follower, mm-hmm. or you can be both. This is the best thing you can choose. If you are a leader, how you feel the music, everything, you know, the whole parquet is like happening like that. Mm-hmm. But if you are a follower, how you feel the other, it's another magic as well. So for me, this is the best mm-hmm. thing.
And then you are also dancing together.
Yes.
So are the roles changing or
yes.
is it always the same?
Yes, because, I don't say like it's 50-50, but it's changing because it's challenging. What do you think?
Well, I think you can practically state that you are the leader, which is, I think it's good that way because I don't personally hear the music that much, which is, I mean, not really good if you want to lead. And also, you have to make very quick decisions, like right there and then, depending on the music, depending on the others on the floor, depending on a lot of other things. And she's also very, very good at that and very experienced in that. So I think I personally feel pretty good at the follower side. But it's true that sometimes we try like some figures like the other way around. And I enjoy that. I like that because it is a role play and it's always challenging, but in a good way, like it's a game. You can play with that. And as you asked about the personality, I do think that your personality is reflected in the way you dance in any way, like in the dance floor, in the club or on the dance floor mm-hmm. at the competition. But you can play with that and, you know, you can sometimes be more elegant than you are in the everyday life, where you can be more cool or you can be, you know, like a lot of things.
And then you're also going to competitions or you have been to competitions. How is that right now in Porto or in Portugal?
In Portugal?
Mm-hmm.
You mean like competition dance or same-sex dance? Two
can
things.
You explain us both.
Okay, like mainstream dance, like man and woman dance together, mm-hmm. one role. It's popular here as well. Mostly Latin dances, but popular.
Mm-hmm.
Same-sex dance, I don't know. I know a couple in London who compete as a Portuguese couple, but they are new and... But in Portugal, I think we are the only Portuguese couple. We can represent the country.
Okay. And then, Livia, you're also dancing together, but also you're a graphic designer. Can you describe us what you're doing?
Yes and no. I do, and I did, and I hopefully will do lots of different things. Obviously, I think as many people in this profession, there are a lot of things that we do for money and other things that we do for love or for art or for, I don't know, I never consider myself as an artist, actually. But there are some things that I do as a job. We should rather not talk about, and not because they're not good, it's just not what I feel important. And then there are things that I do for love, like, you know, anytime, like, you know, theatrical posters or you know, anything cultural, like conference posters, whatever. I also, like, you know, sometimes do for free if I love the event and I have the freedom to do what I want and I have some inspiration about it. And what I also do, and I used to work as a graphic facilitator or like visual facilitator, and I also sort of developed or experimenting with a teaching method to use graphics and graphic organizers and visual facilitation, visualization to help learning, basically, in different contexts. And I used to do it as a job, basically, to go to, I don't know, like team buildings, workshops, conferences, take notes graphically and use graphic organizers to help the people to talk more, to think better, to try to summarize the knowledge that they have together and see it through and organize it in a way so that they can, you know, come up with something. And that's what I actually love about my work. So when you take some complex or unorganized set of, I wouldn't say information or like data type of information, but knowledge, you know, human knowledge, which is chaotic. And then you use graphics to communicate it and make it understandable. And yeah, that's what I love to do the most, actually, of my profession. Yeah. And we'll see what comes out of it.
And then it was also that part of your formation you did already in Porto?
Not really. I did, like, after the graphic design, I started a PhD, and I'm still in the process of writing a dissertation. And I was here in Porto on Erasmus Plus. It was actually after I moved here. Probably this shouldn't be there, because, you know, officially it's not, it shouldn't be like that. Anyway, I was here, so I was here in Porto as a research guest-ish something at the fine arts faculty for like 4 months with consultations and whatever. It was very inspiring, actually. It was pretty good. I had a very good teacher to help me.
So did your stay here in Portugal influence your work in a different direction?
Probably, yes. I returned more to drawing buildings, which I always liked as a kid as well, because both of my parents are originally architects, not anymore. And I love drawing buildings, and I think it's the city for that. And I wish, I hope I can do that more when I have more free time.
And what has been the biggest challenge for you in your career or in the path of the graphics?
The most challenging, people I work with, and some stuff that they, you know, that they want me to do, and I think that it's not good, and they still want it, and that those sort of discussions.
And what was the best part?
The best part is was when I could work with somebody that I know on a project that really inspires me. Like, for example, I have a very good friend. She's a theater director, and they made a project in Budapest last year, and they have like 5 like short dramas, and I made the posters for them. Mm-hmm. And with this girl, Dorka, we have a very, very good understanding. I used to make like set designs for her as well. And that was pretty good. I like that a lot.
Nice. Okay. So, and then another common project of yours is also the constructing. So you have it was an official building, right? It was a shop that you're remodeling, or?
Yeah, it was a three-level building, 2-level like kind of restaurant, a big restaurant, and 1 level for a family who ran the restaurant. And we, like, it was very, very, very bad condition when we bought. So we needed to work. And we really enjoyed, even, it's not our profession. I don't know if in this century anybody can tell they have like a one profession. I think it's changing. Maybe if you are, I don't know, a doctor and you're saving life all the time and you are just crazy about it and you do it just that. But other people, I think they are like surfing through the life. Nowadays, I think it's more like this. Mm-hmm. So until now, we didn't really work like physical work, but now we really enjoy it. And Livy makes very, very beautiful furniture as well. And we try to recycling everything we find and gave the thing in another meaning in our house. That's it. This is what we do now.
Yeah, also very the creative part, like recycling something and creating something new, but also you know, like the hard part as well. So
the construction itself.
Yeah.
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 Everything.
Yeah. Okay. So now you live in Porto, you don't live in the city center anymore, but what are some of the most inspiring things happening here in Porto currently?
I mean, we had some like crumbs of underground culture, and we need more of that. Mm-hmm. Once we are done with the construction, soon.
Anything to add?
I want to speak more Portuguese, mm-hmm. Because I want to get to know my vizinhos. You know, better and better, because I think they are cool people, mm-hmm. and they have another kind of attitude to seeing life. Like we are more Eastern Europeans, and they have like this mm-hmm. other view, which I really like.
So, could you describe also any major differences between Porto and Budapest? So, you both are from Budapest.
Yes. Yes. This is not you know,
in the cultural area.
Okay.
You are saying that Budapest is very metropolitan, very.
It's a big city. Budapest is a big city. It's a big cultural and party, and it's a very cool city actually. Porto is a very cool city too. It's very, very different. Like Porto is calm.
Yeah, I could agree with that. That it's a big city. You can have everything you want. Like really, but you feel less of a rush. Maybe that actually comes from our different lifestyle right now than we had in Budapest. And like we live in a very different place because we used to live like downtown Budapest. Mm-hmm. We had different, you know, work and social network and everything. So that probably adds to the feeling of the difference. But here I really feel more relaxed. I don't feel like I have to run here, I have to run there. There's no... You know, in Budapest, if you meet your friends, like to go out at night, it means you meet at a place at like 9, you start drinking, and then you stay there until like midnight, and then you maybe go to a party. And that's it. It's not like, oh yeah, let's have a drink here, let's have a coffee there, oh, let's eat something, let's go here, let's go there. It's like more flow mm-hmm. here.
Yes, and there are much more bird voice.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah, and you can see a sheep in the, you know, inside the city, which is something amazing.
Yeah, like if you find like a small green place, then it's...
There's couve everywhere.
What do you wish you knew about Porto before you came here?
Yes, time. You know, it's different dimension. I mean, like for me, if we have an appointment, I go there like 5 minutes before, and I'm waiting. That okay? 1, 2, 3. Okay, now it's time, and we meet, and it's absolutely normal. Like in Hungary, if we I don't know, we have a appointment and you are late for 5-10 minutes and you don't tell me on phone and you are not like, oh my God, my mother is like, whatever. You know, you need to have some serious reason not to be there. Here, time, nothing. Which for me, it's very, very, very bad because, you know, I don't know. The yes. only one thing, you don't know how much you have. It's time. Mm-hmm. Other things like come and go, but time is just yours. So this is it's a big job for me to learn what to do until I don't do what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You understand me? My English is not that good, but I think it's clean. Yeah. This and like public transport. I think if I know the public transport is like this in here, I don't know, I get some connection in Budapest to some firms to come here, we organize some you know, some order. Yeah, I think this is the two things. You just ask one, sorry.
Okay. Now you live here already since 2 years, so almost 2 years. And as Porto is a very changing city already too, I mean, you were focused on your project so far, but does that have an impact on your creative life or your way of living too, or not yet?
I'm just worried about two things. Yeah, I see that it's developing in everything, like, you know, building everywhere and like renovating everywhere and it's very good, and it's good to see, you know, like that there are these old houses and some of them get a new life finally, and you can see that they were not used for decades. It's good. I'm afraid of two things. One is that please do not take every green area away, because that's what makes the city so livable, and also that little bit of chaotic surprises here and there in the city when you walk and you find like these abandoned spaces. Mm-hmm. The tourism, obviously, which I hope won't get to a Lisbon level, because that's pretty scary. So yeah, so I wish it will still keep the city surprising enough and weird enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and after your construction is done, so that was your project so far or still, but do you have any future projects or even any dream projects? What are the next steps?
Oh, we are full with dreams. You know, we live so close to the nature, and I want to learn all, you know, to drive all of the water vehicles and you know, learn about the culture and history here, and collect as much lishu. Trash, whatever, you know, as possible. I think these kind of things I want to do.
The drawing houses project, definitely, I want to do that. Meaning actually just to, you know, walk around enough and, you know, like sit in cafes with a glass of wine and, you know, just draw what I see, and I would love that. I should also write my dissertation. It's not a dream, definitely, but I have to do that. And I don't know. Like, that's the point, that, you know, I can figure it out.
Tabula rasa. Mm-hmm. Tabula rasa.
That's the best project itself.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Sten.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us and for your patience and your answers. And thank you very much for everybody who was listening to this podcast. This was the Interstruct podcast, Interstruct Talks 2. And see you for the next time.